Welcome to the audio ministry of Grove Park Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina. We pray you will be blessed by today's message. I
invite you to take your copy of God's Word and turn to Luke chapter 8. Reminder also, following up on Ron's earlier message, if you know someone who might be a candidate for our administrative assistant position, please have them reach out to us through apply@groveparkchurch.com. Luke 8, would you pray with me? Lord, we are thankful for the fact that joy is our strength. Joy that comes from you, joy that arises through a relationship with you, joy that shines brightness into the midst of much darkness. Lord, we pray for light today. We pray for light to see a very familiar text in new ways, that we may be able to better engage our world, to shine light, so that others may receive the kingdom and hope and have joy become their strength. Before we ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. There are a lot of things going on in the opening lines of our text this morning. Verse 40 begins by saying, "Now when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And there came a man named Jairus, who was ruler of the synagogue, and falling at Jesus' feet, he implored him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. As Jesus went, the people pressed around him, and there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And though she had spent all her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone." There's a lot going on here. Jairus' daughter, and clearly by the text, this unnamed woman, have health issues, serious health issues. But there are other issues beyond that, if you'll notice what Luke tells us about this unnamed woman. There's economic issues here as well. You'll notice that it says that she had spent all her living. She is facing economic destruction because of her health condition. She is facing bankruptcy because of her health condition. There's also, though, some family issues going on here. There's family issues from the perspective of Jairus. It's his only daughter, the text tells us. But notice also that there is an unnamed woman beyond the one in the text. There's Mrs. Jairus, who it's her only daughter as well that is dying. And then there's this unnamed woman. You say, well, Mark, what family issues does she have? I don't know. That's the beauty of this text. She may have family issues such that she can't be with her family because she is unclean because of this continual discharge of blood. According to the purity laws, she is unclean, so she can't be with her family, so she can't associate with her family for all these many years. Or maybe it's such that she has never even been able to have a family because this hit at such a young age in her life that she never knew what it was to have a husband or children or anything like that. And so it is not the presence of a family that can't be reached, it is the absence of a family that never occurred. And she's dealing with the hurt of not having a child or a husband or a family. There are issues going on here. There are religious issues going on here. Because this unnamed woman is religiously unclean according to the purity laws of Judaism. She can't go to temple. She can't go to synagogue. She can't do any of those things. She can't go and offer sacrifices. She is outside, in other words, of grace. Now think about that for a second. The God of all grace, and through the interpretation of these purity laws, they declare that she is outside of grace. Beloved, I don't ever want to be outside of grace. I can't imagine what it is like to a faith to be thought outside of grace. There are a ton of issues in just the opening verses of this text. And it makes me think that these are still issues that are present in the world. These are still issues that women are facing in the world. Not just women, everybody's facing them, but we've spent our time focused this epiphany on women. And women are still faced with economic issues and religious issues about whether or not they belong in certain places in religious life. They are faced with health issues and with family issues. These things don't go away. And so the question is, with such a plethora of issues, an amount of issues that can be overwhelming, such that we are paralyzed and can't figure out what to do, and so we do nothing, how should we think about them in such a way that we can begin to address these issues and bring hope and life and healing to so many? Well, let's see what Jesus does. Verse 45. Actually, let's start verse 44. So this unnamed woman comes up behind Jesus and touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately the discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, "Who was it that touched me?" When all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowds surround you, and you are pressing in and are pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me." And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him, and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Notice first in the text this morning that Jesus addressed the issue by holding on to power loosely and letting it flow freely. The woman approaches Jesus, and from the text, it doesn't appear in any way, shape, form, or fashion that she physically touched the body of Jesus. She didn't grab his hand, she didn't grab his leg, she didn't grab his ankle, she didn't grab any of that. It says that she touched the fringe of his garment. So maybe, you know, the bottom of my coat or something like that. She just reached out and touched it. And what happens? The scripture says, Jesus says, power went out. This is not anything, this is nothing different than what we see later on when we hear about power throughout the rest of the New Testament. When Paul says, I want to know the power of the resurrection, the word that he uses there in Philippians is the same word that Jesus uses here. It's dunamis. Power. Big power, dynamite power flows out. Jesus doesn't just say, okay, well, I'm going to let it go. She just come by, she reached out, and it just flowed right out of him. He didn't attempt to grab hold of it. You know, beloved, one of the chief issues in our world today is the simple fact that folks try their hardest to hold on to power. And when I say hold on to power, I mean clutch it with their fingernails embedded in it. I don't know if you all have ever seen Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, but there's a scene in there where John Candy is driving and Steve Martin, they're going along and Steve Martin grabs the dashboard, and when the scene is over, Steve Martin has to pull his fingernails out of the dashboard. They're so embedded in there. Beloved, that's how a lot of people hold on to power. That's how I can't give it up. It's who I am. And so they hold on to it. But that's not the model of Jesus. Jesus is all about empowering folks. Jesus is all about powering flowing out of him and into other people so that they could be empowered to do what it is that they need to do. Hence, Jesus will say, you will receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The Holy Spirit, beloved, is the same essence as Jesus. They're one in the Godhead. And so what does he say? I'm not going to hold on to my power. I'm not going to hold on to my miracle power. I'm not going to hold on to any of this stuff. I'm going to send it out into you. Now, beloved, here's the question. Are you like Jesus? Or are you like Steve Martin? Are you holding on for dear life? Or are you resting in the arms of him who does all things well, knowing that if he gives you power, you can let go of what power you have and let it flow as well, because he's still got you and still will enable you to do the things that you are called to do in this world. Beloved, let me go ahead and tell you, we done and set you up this morning, because you've lied if you're not like Jesus. Because we had you sing, yet not I, but through Christ in me. So you've already declared you don't have the power, and you've already said it's got to flow. So the question is, are you doing it? Are you doing it? Secondly, notice that Jesus employs discernment on what is the most urgent matter. All these issues going on. A woman touches him, and the scripture says she was healed. The discharge stopped immediately. She touched him. He hasn't said a word. It stops, he stops. Now, don't forget, there's a 12-year-old girl dying down the street. Come, Jesus, father is begging. I need you to come. My child is dying. And Jesus stops. He's already been delayed because this crowd of folks is just pressing in on him, and he can't get anywhere. And what does he do? He stops and lets that poor girl continue to die to deal with what looks to be like a dead issue already, because the woman has already been healed. Beloved, there's a lot of things you and I in life want folks to do urgently, but they really aren't that urgent because we aren't so discerning. We don't realize that other people are dealing with other things that are urgent. And we think that because it's us, we should come to the top of the list. Or we will say it's not that urgent, so we can just let it delay. Liza had an accident back in August. And I was at Sustainable Alamance when the accident happened. And so I don't look at my phone when I'm at Sustainable Alamance. I'm trying to be present in the conversation. And I was like, well, let me see what time it is. Seems like we're getting close to the end of our time. So I pulled my phone out, and I saw 3 missed calls from Eliza. And then I saw 2 missed calls from Vicky. Well, 3 missed calls from Eliza, I thought, well, I wonder what's going on. 2 missed calls from Vicky, I thought, I got to go. Why? Because those 5 missed calls meant that something urgent had happened. I couldn't put it off. I had to go. You know, beloved, sometimes we just put things off because we're not thinking it's that urgent, when guess what? It really is. It really is. And we have to be discerning about what is urgent and what discerning about what is not urgent. And sometimes that means that we got to take what we think is urgent and put it under something else. And sometimes that means that we got to take the thing that we don't think is that urgent and put it to the top. And let's be very honest about this. There's a lot of issues that women face that society puts at the bottom, and it needs to be brought to the top. And if we are to be like Jesus, we will recognize the moment for what it is and place emphasis on what it is that the moment requires us to discern what is urgent. For you see, this woman, it appears to me, is suffering not just from a discharge of blood. She's suffering from a lot of other things. She's suffering for those family issues possibly that we talked about. But I think chief among the things that she's suffering is she's got some religious issues that Jesus has to address right then. You see, look what it says. When the woman, verse 47, saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling, and fell down at his feet. And she said why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And what does Jesus do? Jesus says, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. I don't miss that language, beloved. Don't skip it. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has restored you. Why did he say that? Because quite simply, beloved, there's a line of thought in Judaism, and it's continuing right on down to this day, where we will tell people all the time, if they're not healed or they have an illness or something of those lines, that they don't have enough faith to get it through. That God hadn't healed them because their faith isn't enough, or they are suffering because they are vile sinners and they need to get their heart right with God. And what does Jesus say? Daughter, your faith has made you well. You don't have lacking faith. You're not second class because of your faith. And I love the fact that he starts off with daughter. He don't say woman. He says daughter. I can almost hear the tones of kindness and love. I can feel in my heart, her heart melting. All those years, that callousness that was around her to protect her from the hurt that she was feeling. And what is she hearing at that point? She's hearing this man who is doing all of these miraculous things look at her and say, daughter, you're enough. You're not second class. You're enough. You are equal. You're enough. You're not deficient. You're not lacking. You're enough. Beloved, when we do not properly discern urgency, we declare other things as second class and not enough. And there are no second-class citizens in the kingdom of heaven. We are a kingdom-driven church, or we declare ourselves to be. And that means that we take hold of the fact that in Christ there is neither male nor female, Greek or Jew, that all are equal at the foot of the cross. And all have value from the youngest to the oldest. From the prettiest woman to the ugliest man in the kingdom of God. And God don't declare value based off of what you look like or who you are, what your last name is, what your lineage is, what your bank account looks like, where you went to school, where you grew up, and who you know. He just declares you son and daughter. And by the way, he brings you into grace. Because with this statement, this woman is no longer outside of grace. She is inside of grace. Now, there's a final thing. Final thing we need to keep up with. And that is this. That in Jesus' actions here, Jesus shows to us the necessity of when we are going through this discernment to have a complete picture. Not just a complete picture of what is going on in the moment, but have a complete picture of what is going on theologically. Because, notice, this woman is unclean. She is ritually unclean. And when she touches him, he's unclean. And what does he do? Somebody touch me. And this woman comes up and she says, I got this discharge of blood. I've had it for 12 years, but it stopped. Now, she don't know that it's not going to start back in 4 seconds. She just knows that it stopped right then. And what does Jesus do? He doesn't look at her and say, "You sinner, you have made me unclean. You didn't follow the Levitical law. You didn't," and he didn't cite chapter or verse to her. Notice also, if you were to go further into the text, that Jairus' daughter dies, and Jesus walks in, and what does he do? He lays his hand on her. Now, beloved, also in Judaism, a corpse is unclean. It's like touching a pig. It's unclean. And what does Jesus do there? He reaches across and touches that girl, and he brings her back to life. He doesn't cite the law that says you will not touch a body, or if you do, you got to go out after this and you got to do this purification ritual and that purification ritual. He doesn't worry about all that. He just reaches over and he says, "Come to life, darling." And she pops up. And he says, "This child's hungry. Go get her something to eat." Now, beloved, you and I, in dealing with so many issues, don't look at the whole picture. Because if we did, we would understand some things in this text. We would understand, first off, that at the very beginning of chapter 8, and I would encourage you to go read it, you will see that Jesus' ministry is funded by women. They are an essential part of the crew. It's the 12 apostles and these women, very important women in some instances, and they're the ones that are funding what he's doing. Jesus had clear insight in what the issues of women were because I guarantee you they talked to him about it. Do you think they just handed him money and didn't say a word to him about what was going on in their life? No. No. They said, "Lord, these are the issues we're facing." And Jesus said, "Okay, let's see what we can do about it. Let's see what we can do about it." Number two, if you were to go over to Matthew chapter 9, you would find this text of the Jairus' daughter and the unnamed woman who touches the hem of his garment. And before that, you would see that Jesus is in a fight with some guys who are worried about who he's eating with. And they tell him that he's a sinner because he's hanging out with sinners. And what does Jesus say back to him? He quotes the prophet Hosea, who says, "I desire mercy more than sacrifice. I desire mercy more than sacrifice." Beloved, to see the big picture, we have to understand a few things. Number one, we have to understand that we are to read the scriptures in their full context, in their fullest context. And we also need to understand that as we read the scriptures and we interact with them to see the complete picture, we have to make sure we don't have blinders on. We don't have blinders on. I had to go get my eyes, my license on Friday so I could legally drive in North Carolina. And I just got a new prescription in December. And so I went to the driver's license office and the driver's license examiner said, "Read the top line." Well, I read those first four letters and then I read those next four letters and I got to that last four letters. And even with my new glasses, it was a blur. I said, "I can't make that out." She said, "Well, let's see if we can't help you a little bit. I'm going to blind your left eye." She blinded it. It was a little less fuzzy, But I got enough out that she didn't make me tell her what a stop sign was. That's important. Beloved, we have to understand that we're reading a text that is 2,000 years old in some instances, and it was written in a culture and time that you and I do not exist. And we have to understand that as we read these texts, we have to know what our blinders are so that we can get to the heart of what the Word says. That we can get to the ethic of what the Word says. Which means that we also have to read the Bible in whole. As a whole. This morning I was on social media trying to catch up on some messages that folks had sent. And as I opened it up, a friend of mine's Facebook post popped up first. And they had posted a statement from the Scriptures. And someone had responded to them with another statement from the Scriptures, trying their best to knock them down. And it was all I could do to say, have you read the whole book? Have you read the whole book? You know, beloved, you and I like to pick a point and we'll deal on it for a while, and we don't read the whole book. This is the whole counsel of God, not just a verse here and a verse there. Which means that in the end, you and I have to read it as we deal with these issues with mercy, with grace, with an understanding of what it is that God's heart is. And beloved, He'll show you from beginning to end. Sometimes that means that you and I have to evolve. Guess what? That's what it meant for the first church. They had a whole council about whether or not Gentiles could be saved and receive the Holy Spirit. And they found out that they could. And boy, aren't you and I glad of that? I'm not sure you are. So I'll try again. Aren't you and I glad of that? Amen. There you go. Now, beloved, if you are glad of that, then you think about all these issues and you ask yourself, am I leaving somebody out? And you spend the rest of your life, not just this week, making it right. Well, if I fix this one, I'm done. Beloved, we're going to be done with issues about like I'm going to be done reading one day. When I die, I'm going to have about 7 books unread that I'm in the middle of, and that's not counting all the ones that will still be on the shelf. And God help my Amazon wish list. They cut you off at 600 books. Just letting you know. Don't know from experience, but just letting you know. There's always going to be the next thing. There's no rest this side of glory. But it's our task to work in the power of the cross to make the world better for all God's children. All of them. For there is no second class citizen in heaven. And Dale had us pray a while ago, and he didn't know he did it. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray. Lord, these are powerful issues that we need to address. Give us strength to do them. Let us not shirk from our responsibility. Let us not think it is too difficult, because we have the power of heaven at our fingertips. Show us where we are blind and bring us to light. Show us where we are not healed and heal us. That we may be more like Jesus. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. Please note our schedule has been revised as of April 2021. Please join us on Sunday mornings for worship at 10 o'clock in the sanctuary at 108 Trail 1 in Burlington, or on Facebook Live. For more information and resources regarding our church, please visit groveparkchurch.net. And remember, grace abounds. Thank you.